There are many ways in which we try to define or describe Jesus' person and work. Many phrases we use, many words which we use. Scripture uses several of them. He's called Savior. He's called Redeemer, Messiah or Christ, the Great Shepherd of the Sheep, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God. There are three titles in particular that we have come to use that sum up the work of Jesus Christ. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks in question 23, what offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? And the answer that's given is that Christ, as our Redeemer, executes the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. A few months ago during this afternoon service, we focused on Christ's office as a priest. I think this was several months ago, and we particularly focused on Christ's act of priestly intercession for you, the fact that Jesus is praying for you even now. Right now, he's at the right hand of God the Father, praying for you, praying for things such as that your faith might not fail, praying you'll be saved to the uttermost. He's praying for you right now because he's your priest. Well, this morning, I'd like to look at Christ's office as a prophet. And so our topic today comes from the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer number 24. How doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? And the answer that's given is Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. And the point I want you to get from this question and answer this afternoon is that you can be assured of your salvation by hearing the voice of Christ in the word. You can be assured of your salvation by hearing the voice of Christ in the word. In the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through prophets. That's one of the first things the catechism assumes here, that there's such a position or office as a prophet. And it's right in doing so. The answer says Christ executeth the office of a prophet. But where do we see this office displayed for us in Scripture? Well, Pastor Andy has been preaching through the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. So we can see one of the Lord's prophets in action, speaking a judgment upon the nations around him, speaking judgment upon his own people for forsaking the Lord himself, but also proclaiming mercy as well. So that's an example of one of the prophets. I had preached through the book of Jonah, another one of the Lord's prophets. The one place in particular I'd like to draw your attention to is Deuteronomy chapter 5. We can see this idea of a prophet vividly displayed between God and his people. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. In these verses, we see Moses reminding the people of Israel what happened after they received the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai and Horeb. And Moses points out to them that he stood between them and God as the one who declared God's words to the people. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord." As chapter 5 goes on, we learn and read how the people were terrified when God had been speaking to them face to face. We learn how they were afraid that the Lord would consume them. They couldn't bear to hear his thunderous words, and they begged Moses to go before them, to act as a go-between, a mediator between God and them, that he could communicate God's will and God's words to the people. And this is what a prophet does. This is the main role of a prophet. When most people think of prophets, they think of people who tell the future. And prophets did do this to a certain extent, but their main role was to communicate God's will to the people. If you think about medieval times, if a king wanted to communicate his decrees or his will to the people in his kingdom, he would select a special member of his court to go and act as a messenger or town crier. That person would go and stand in the middle of the town, and he would shout out the king's message and decree for everyone to hear. In a sense, this town crier, this messenger, was the king's prophet. He was communicating the king's will to the people. Now, this is what prophets do. They communicate God's will to his people. In a similar way, this is the role of a preacher or of a pastor. He's an individual chosen by God, set apart by God to communicate God's will to his people. Well, this isn't to say that pastors or Andy or I or Bob receive new revelation from God that we communicate to you. That's not the point. But the point is that we take the truth of God's word and we communicate that will, the will of God, to the people in the pew. We communicate that truth to you. And in this way, we fulfill a role as a prophet would fulfill. Moses, as one of the first prophets, communicated God's truth to the people. And so, too, did the many prophets down through Israel's history until God sent a very special prophet. You see, Christ has come to speak as the ultimate prophet. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll be looking at the first two verses, Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 through 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Well, as the Catechism points out, it is now Christ who exercises or executes this role or office as a prophet. We see this in the text we just read. God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. This was God's plan all along. We read together Deuteronomy 18:18, where God says to Moses, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I have commanded him. And Jesus is the fulfillment of these words spoken to Moses. He's come as the final authoritative word from God, the ultimate prophet. This time, God did not have to speak through others to declare his will, but God himself came and declared his will. Jesus came and declared and revealed in fullness the glory and the majesty of God. Not that the words of the former prophets were any less important or less authoritative, but a much fuller revelation has come in the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of the king sending one of the servants of his court to come and speak his message, the king decided to send his Son instead. A much fuller and clearer explanation of the king's will can be given if the prince gives it. If the prince tells you what his father desires, what his father has decreed. This is what happened when Jesus came. John says in the Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. And we can be assured that Jesus' explanation of God the Father, of his will, is in perfect harmony, in accord with what the Father has desired and wills. Because he not only spoke what the Father gave him, as John says in 12:50, but because Jesus was God himself. For I and my Father are one, Jesus says in John 10:30. Since therefore God himself has come and delivered the full and final message regarding his own will, we need not look anywhere else or expect any additional revelation to come apart from him. So prophecy or additional words from God claimed by some, perhaps some like the old prophet who showed up a few weeks ago, are merely erroneous and false. What can be said that is greater than the very words of God himself that he has spoken already? All that is needed for life and godliness is given by the words of Christ. Just in case you're thinking then, well, what do we make of the apostles' words? Didn't they speak after Jesus came? If Christ is the final authoritative word from God, what were the apostles for? Are they somehow less important? Did they add to what Jesus said? Well, listen to what Jesus says about his apostles, his disciples in John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The apostles communicated nothing other than what Jesus himself had communicated to them. The apostle Paul wasn't a rogue apostle. Jesus appeared to Paul, instructed him, taught him, told him what to communicate to the churches, and they spoke with the authority of Christ himself. The apostolic writings and those approved by them are the words of Christ spoken by the Spirit. That's why the church recognized that the New Testament scriptures could only be those of apostolic authority. Therefore, any supposed revelation from God outside of the scriptures is void. Christ speaks as a prophet in only one place, and that's in his word. So if Christ speaks as a prophet, to whom is he speaking? Who is he communicating to? Well, look at the Hebrews text again. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Christ now speaks as a prophet to you, his church. When the writer to the Hebrews says God has spoken to us, the us he refers to is the church of Christ. This is what the catechism picks up on. Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us. It's God's desire to communicate his will to his children, and not simply to speak to special individuals in the church. And to do this, he's ordained that his words be written down. This is what the catechism means when it says that he revealed to us by his word. He set apart prophets of old and the apostles to write down his words. These were men inspired directly by God himself. And all the words they wrote were the words of God. Paul says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible is a direct word from God given to you to show you how you may glorify God and how you may enjoy him. These are words of Christ that are spoken to all people of all ages. I want you to think, if you wanted to communicate a message to your great-great-great-great-grandchildren, how would you do it? Would you just tell your son or daughter to tell their son or daughter to tell their son or daughter or to tell their son or daughter? Probably not. You might be concerned it would be lost in the transmission, like the telephone game kids like to play. Most likely you'd write it down, although I suppose nowadays you just record a message or something and have them play it in 20 or 30 years or something like that. But whenever this was written, whenever God's word was written, they didn't have recording devices like that. They had words written down. And if you were to write a message for your great-great-great-great-grandchild, you wrote it directly to him, he could read words written right for him, directly for him. And in a sense, this is what the Bible is. Words written down for you directly from God, spoken directly to you. It is Christ as God who speaks in the Bible to you. You don't need anything else to know what God desires for you or what his will is for you. Some people claim they need the Pope in Rome to tell them what God wants them to do. Others claim they need the Book of Mormon or the Watchtower Society or other religious books like the Quran or even fortune tellers to tell them what God wants them to do. You don't need them. You have the very words of Jesus Christ spoken to you in the Bible. Praise God, he has given you such a blessing. His own words given to you to guide you and direct you. Sadly, however, there are many who don't recognize this blessing. There are many who do not understand or believe God's word in the scriptures. Why is this the case? Well, the catechism answers this question as well. Listen to what it says again. Christ executeth the office of a prophet and revealing to us by his word and spirit. You see, Christ speaks by his spirit as well. Catechism is pointing out an important teaching of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you would turn there with me as well. I should have told you to warm your fingers up because we've been moving around a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Paul gives us the reason why many do not understand and believe what the Scriptures teach. And this is what the Catechism is getting at. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Paul is saying that a person must be given understanding by the Spirit, because the words of the Bible are composed, they're written, they're inspired by the Spirit. It's as if the Apostle Paul is saying that the natural man, the unbeliever, speaks English, and the words of Scripture are written in Spanish or some other foreign language. The unbeliever may be able to look at them and recognize the letters, maybe sound out some of the words and begin to try to put the pieces together, but all in all, they don't make a whole lot of sense to him. He doesn't understand them completely. The unbeliever must know Spanish before he can understand. In a similar way, when a person must know the Spirit of God before he can understand spiritual things. But Christ speaks to you by his word and Spirit. Look at what Paul says in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 2, for you who have been born again. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Because you've been born again, you can understand the words of Christ that are spoken to you. As you read the Bible, the Spirit helps you understand what it says. This is what's called illumination. The Spirit illumines or sheds light on the words of God in the Bible, so that you can understand what it teaches you concerning God's will. And so Christ speaks to you as a prophet. He does so through his word. And he does so by his Spirit. And he helps you understand what God's will is. And so if he's helping you understand what God's will is, what is God's will? What is he trying to help you understand? What's he trying to communicate to you as a prophet? Well, listen to the answer to the catechism question one more time. Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and Spirit the will of God for our salvation. And Christ speaks concerning God's will for your salvation. Listen to what is said in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31. But these things are written to you who believe that Jesus is, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The purpose for which Christ speaks in the word is that you may know the path of salvation. Because it's God's desire to bring you into a relationship with himself. And how did God do this? Well, God communicated that will to you through the gospel. As you heard the word of God, either shared with you from a friend or a pastor or family member, you read it or you heard it proclaimed or preached to you. At some point you heard the word of God and you were saved. But God isn't simply interested in a one-time salvation event. God's plan is a salvation process. The process is carried out through your entire life. At the moment you were saved, you were justified. Your sins were forgiven, they were wiped away, they were eliminated, they were canceled, and you were declared righteous in God's sight. You were saved. But from that point forward, you are still being saved. That is, you're being sanctified, becoming more and more like the person God declared you to be. More and more righteous, more and more holy, more and more like Christ himself. This is part of the salvation process. You know, and helping you to think about these things, I want you to imagine that you came from a larger city, that you weren't native to Columbus or a smaller city like this, but you came from a larger city, perhaps a city like Pittsburgh or something. And you moved somewhere where they grow lots of corn. perhaps like Indiana. And you come to Indiana, and you come shortly after they begin planting the corn, and it begins to grow. And you're walking around, and you see fields with these little, well, large pieces of grass growing out of them, and you're wondering, what is this? And the farmer's standing there looking at his corn, but you don't know that, of course, and you walk up and say, sir, what are you planting here? What are you growing? And so, well, that's corn, of course. And so, oh, okay, that's great. I thought it came from a can, but this is really neat. You come back a couple weeks later, or maybe even a couple months later, and you see the same field, but you see something that looks a whole lot different than those large pieces of grass. You see these large stalks with these big limbs almost coming off of them, and the same farmer standing there looking at his corn, and you say, sir, what are you growing here now? I thought you said this was corn. And I said, well, it is corn. This is the same thing. No, wait a minute, this looks a whole lot different like the other stuff. This can't be the same. He said, no, this is corn. It was corn before, it's corn now. It's just becoming more like it's supposed to be. This is really the way it is with your salvation as well. Corn is corn. It's always in the process of being corn and becoming more like it should be. You are saved, and you're always in the process of being saved, becoming more like you should be. This is what the will of God is for you. That you get saved and then become more and more like the one who saved you. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 17. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, Timothy, from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the scriptures make you wise for salvation. They tell you about Jesus and you get saved. You're justified. But they also work to make you complete, to sanctify you, that the man of God may be complete, Paul says. And so the question and answer of this catechism is trying to give you this point. It's trying to say that you can grow in and be assured of your salvation by hearing the voice of Christ in the Word. Christ, as the ultimate prophet, is speaking to you in the Bible and teaches you about the gospel, that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to merit, to earn salvation for sinners like you and me, which He accomplished through His life and His death and His resurrection from the dead. And if you repent and you believe in Him, confessing your sins to Him, trusting in Him as your only hope of salvation, your sins are no more. They're wiped away. You're declared righteous in God's sight, and you're granted everlasting life. It's the voice of Christ in the Scriptures after you are saved that leads and guides you into greater conformity to Christ Himself. That's why the reading, but especially the preaching of God's Word is so important. As God's means of grace for building you up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. So know that whenever you open the Word of God or hear it preached, it's the very words of God. The words of Christ speaking to you, teaching you how to live, declaring who you are, declaring whose you are. You are children of God. You belong to the Lord. You've been saved by the work of Christ, and you will grow up to your full salvation in Him by listening to His voice in the preaching and written Word. So as you read the Scriptures and hear it proclaimed, hear the voice of your shepherd calling you as His sheep. Hear the voice of your shepherd, which says, He who believes in Me has everlasting life. Hear the voice of your shepherd, which says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Hear the voice of Christ that says, No one will snatch you out of My hand. Hear the voice of Christ, which says, Nothing will separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you in the Word, which says, May the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers and sisters, find rest and assurance in the Word that you are who Christ says you are, that you're saved as Christ says you are, because it's Christ Himself who says it in the Word. How doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executeth the office of a prophet and revealing to you by His Word and Spirit the will of God for your salvation. Be assured of your salvation by hearing Christ's voice in the Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You.